Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Wednesday edition. Today's date is the second day of August 2006. It is a Wednesday. And, of course, my name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It's great to have you here with us today. We've got a returning guest here today to speak about some events that he lived through some 40 years ago. And but more importantly, I want to get into some of the human aspects of his experience because, you know, we've been fighting here at the French Connection for a couple of years, basically trying to expose what's going on with world Zionism and why our country's being brought down this path to destruction at the hands of these folks. And you know, my guest is James Innes. He was the officer of the deck of the USS Liberty. He's got a website, and he also has a book out for the survivors of the USS Liberty. And there is quite a strong association that he built, and it has stayed strong over the last 40 years. And there are legal challenges that have been brought up against the government for not telling the truth on these issues. But I'm going to let him say those things to you. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you all to welcome James Innes. Jim, are you with me?
I am here, Daryl.
Well, Jim, you know, here's the interesting thing. You've got, like I said, 40 years doing this. I know it must be frustrating, and I want you, first of all, to start out by giving your website address and how the people can get a hold of your first-person account of your experiences. And could you do that for us now?
Well, the website is usslibertyorg or usslibertycom, and both go to the same place. That tells the whole story of what happened to USS Liberty. And it shows where to find my book, which has sold over 100,000 copies, and also tells a story. And the book can be ordered either through the website or by calling with a MasterCard, calling 425-788-4561, and we'll take your order and ship it, and you'll have it in 2 days.
Well, this story is remarkable in that justice really has not been gained by the survivors, and no justice for the fallen as well. You want to tell us what legal avenues that have not really borne fruit over the last 40 years? What have you tried to do to get justice in this case?
Well, we, from the beginning, we have expected the Congress to investigate and report the facts. And the Congress, for reasons that are impossible to understand, refuses. There is a requirement in law that when death occurs in a Navy ship, that it be investigated. And in this case, 174 sailors were hurt and 34 were killed. And the only investigation was a Navy Court of Inquiry, which was told not to investigate whether Israel attacked on purpose. They were told just to investigate the how well the crew behaved and otherwise what happened, but not to go into the issue of Israel at all. And so they didn't. Then when the report was published, Israel told the world that, well, the Navy Court of Inquiry has exonerated Israel. Well, it did no such thing. It didn't even comment on Israel. But that has been the end of it, and we, for 40 years since, have been asking Congress to investigate.
Well, now, what is your take on the fact that that you can't get justice in the United States government? Why do you believe it has been blocked and your justice has been has not been meted out on this, in this case? Well, what do you think the causes of that are?
Well, that's purely Israeli power and the power of the Israeli lobby in Washington. For instance, I have talked to a number of members of Congress who told me that when Liberty was attacked on June 8, 1967, the next morning, every member of Congress got a personal visit from a member of the Jewish lobby, telling him, you don't want to look into this, you don't want to inquire, make any questions, make any speeches, or start any investigations, because all that will do is cater to anti-Semitism and cause injury and insult to Jews.
Now, what do you think this...
It had nothing to do with Jews. It was Israel that attacked us.
That's right. Well, what do you think this whole scam, and I think it's a scam, but what is your take on this anti-Semitism stuff that they constantly use against people? They're doing it right now against Mel Gibson. They'll do it any time they get the chance here, and including to me. And I've got to be honest with you, Jim. I've got a lot of allies in the Jewish community who've helped me greatly to expose these criminals. And how is it that they can get away with this when most people know full well that this is just nonsense?
Well, it's a weapon. Fortunately, the weapon is wearing out because people are getting wise to it, but they simply use it as a weapon. If you say something that is the least bit critical of Israel or Israeli policies or Israel bombing a school or killing neutral United Nations troops or anything else, you even mention it, and the knee-jerk reaction is, "Oh, you must be an anti-Semite," and that scares people, and they don't mention it again. It's crazy.
It is crazy, and you know, that's probably the main reason why you've never gotten traction, because even people who are sympathetic to what's happened to you and your shipmates are afraid of being painted with that brush, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and it's a valid fear because. Well, for instance, you probably remember Bucher, who was the skipper of the USS Pueblo.
Yes.
Pueblo was captured by the North Koreans.
Mm-hmm.
Bucher spent in a North Korean prisoner of war cell. And then he got out, and he was traveling the country talking about the Pueblo. Well, then he and I met. Both ships were attacked at about the same time. We met, and he became interested in the Liberty and started talking about the Liberty on his tours. Well, you know, the talk circuit was notified that Pete Bucher is an anti-Semite. He's talking about the Liberty, so that makes him an anti-Semite. And his talking engagements vanished, and dropped by $100,000.
Yeah. Well, there's no surprises here, Jim. They've got a complete hammerlock on the American government right now. And in fact, I don't even think that we have an American government. I think we have an Israeli government acting as a proxy government in the United States. And that probably is borne out by your research and by your experience. What do the other shipmates have to say about all this mess?
Everybody I've talked to, and I've talked to most of them, agrees. The whole situation is an outrage, and we have been badly treated just because of who it was that was attacked us. We were attacked by Israel, and Israel is sacrosanct for some reason that nobody can quite figure out.
Well, now, here's the thing. Would it be hard for you to believe that there are a lot of atrocities probably being committed in southern Lebanon right now that will never see the light of day because of the power of this particular group?
Oh, I'm certain. I mean, look at the Kanad massacre that occurred last week.
Yep, yep.
You remember there was a similar one 10 years ago, also in Kanad, where they killed 106 United Nations people.
Yep.
And nothing came of that. The United Nations investigated and said it was deliberate. Nothing came of that. And here we've got Kofi Annan now saying that this one was deliberate, and all they're doing is... the press that I've seen everywhere is doing nothing but criticizing Kofi Annan. They're not criticizing Israel.
Well, did you know that Wolf Blitzer was an APEC lobbyist?
I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised.
And did you know that most of our press, well, all of our press, for that matter, is owned by Jewish interests entirely? You know that, right?
I am aware there's a lot of Jewish ownership, yeah.
Well, I mean, now here's the problem, see. How do we separate the good Jews from the bad here? Because I know, in my experience, this community will cohese and coalesce around its attacked part. In other words, even the Jews that may not be on board with this feel attacked, they will back these people in spite of their feelings of... In other words, it's very hard to get the rank-and-file Jews who really are not part of this to stand up because they feel even more persecuted by this group if they rear their heads. They're attacked even more savagely, I think.
Yeah, I know that happens.
Well, see, because what we're seeing right now in the Middle East, and what you know that this war going on in Iran as well, I mean Iraq, and possibly Iran and Syria, is really the opposite side of the same coin, really, of the experiences you had. And we're watching our country go down this path to destruction at the hands of this group. And, I mean, not only will you not get justice if this is allowed to happen, the country won't even be around anymore if it's allowed to happen. And I'm wondering what we should do as people who love America and have served its institutions. What should we do, Jim?
I wish I knew. If you find out, let me know.
Well, I'm doing what I can here. Mm. I mean, this is what I do, and of course it's risky business for me. It's dangerous. I've got all kinds of problems with it, but I decided... A long time ago, I decided that to do nothing would be far worse than to do what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, I'm a 50-year-old man, and I'd hate like heck to have a shortened existence here. But at the same time, what are we going to be left with if all of these things that they're doing now? Because the world hates us, Jim. I've got to be honest with you, Americans, not the American government now. The people in the world are blaming Americans, and how are they doing it? And I'll tell you why. They said America knows darn well, the American public knows darn well their country is being led down this path by the Israelis, and they're not stopping it, so that makes them part of the problem. Would you go along with that?
To an extent I would. I think most Americans are pretty oblivious to what's really going on. I don't think they have a full understanding of how much we're being led down the garden path.
Well, that El Arish thing, I told you. Have you had a chance to see the little video clip that was circulated worldwide?
Of El Arish? No.
Well, it has you and I on the radio, and then there's a little 5-minute video clip that just a few days ago got almost 200,000 downloads. That means 200,000 people... In the United States became aware of the USS Liberty's reasons for being attacked. In other words, you guys became privy to some war crimes, and boy, they didn't want you guys running around telling the world about the war crimes you had witnessed, so they had to do something about you, didn't they?
Well, it looks very much like they did fear that we learned what they were doing at LRH.
Yeah. Well,
you know what that was.
Well, I mean, We sit here on the radio. Of course, it's your third visit, and I love doing these shows with you. You're a wonderful man, Jim, and I have to, my hat goes off to you because, you know, 40 years of trying to get justice here. And certainly there are, have a lot been a lot of your shipmates who have passed on and not had justice.
Yes.
Do you see anything brewing in the on the horizon that you may start getting heard about this?
Well, the most interesting thing going on in the last few months is that we have filed an official war crime report with the Department of Defense, which is the way it's done. I mean, there is absolute American law that if you report a war crime, the government is required by law to investigate. It's as simple as that. They can't just brush under the rug. They have to investigate. So we told them years ago that several aspects of the attack on our ship constitute a war crime, and they just brushed it off. So we found a lawyer in Los Angeles who is experienced with this sort of thing, and he made what's about a 300-page, very detailed, documented report with sworn affidavits and other enclosures and documents that proves beyond any question that the attack on USS Liberty was a war crime. If we filed that report as a legal document with the Secretary of the Army, which is where they're supposed to be filed, he's the agent for war crimes for the Department of Defense, filed that on June 8, 2005, and it was just absolutely ignored. So two admirals who were involved with the investigation and who were acquainted with the Liberty called personally on the Secretary of the Army and the Secretary of the Navy with copies of that report to say, you know, this needs to be investigated. What's going on? And they just brushed off the admirals. Now, the people supporting our claim of a war crime are not just some little-known person. Admiral Merlin Starring, who was the senior legal counsel to the John McCain's father.
Yep.
Admiral John McCain, senior, was the appointed the Court of Inquiry. So he was the convening authority for the Court of Inquiry, and his legal counsel has signed a sworn affidavit saying that that Court of Inquiry is badly flawed and reached erroneous conclusions and didn't conclude, the court didn't find what they reported. The legal counsel to the Court of Inquiry itself filed another affidavit, which is, you can find on my website, which says that the court concluded that the attack was deliberate, but they reported in writing that it was an accident because they were ordered to do so. And here's the legal counsel to the court saying that that court of inquiry report was a fake.
What good is a court if it's afraid to mete out justice?
I'd say no good at all.
That's right, and you'll find that this is not only a military experience, but a civil and a criminal experience where, you'll see people getting railroaded or not getting justice in all the court systems in America at the hands of this lobby and this group, Jim.
Oh yeah. Yeah. One thing leads to another. You corrupt one part of it, and soon it spreads.
Well, so here's the thing. Have you thought about doing submitting this to The Hague?
Yes, we have, and we've tried to do that, and we're told that only governments can do that.
Can a state government do it?
No. A national government is the only one that can submit a report to The Hague.
So there's no place in the world, aside from the avenues you've already examined, that you're going to find justice. So what is your game plan here? Just keep pounding at them, and they're trying to wait you out, you know. They're just trying, and so that they can see, they've got control of our schools too, Jim. So this thing will never see the history books. It'll never see the It'll never see, you know, the archives. It's basically just going to get blown under the rug here, and as long as these people are in charge. So what's the game plan to get this justice dealt with here?
Well, for one thing, a comment I have to make on that remark. If you go back and look at encyclopedias for 1967, you rarely find any mention of the USS Liberty. I mean,
that's
here
right.
It was a serious naval incident that should be in every history book. The USS Pueblo is found everywhere, and it's in all the encyclopedias, but the Liberty is too sensitive, so it just doesn't get there.
So these people can even, not only they control the courts, they can control history.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they are controlling history.
That is a frightful amount of power these people are possessing, and I'm wondering how we as citizens of the United States and the world, because the world has been victimized by this group, how are we going to get this story further afield here? Because this is one of the keys, I think. You know, 9/11 is certainly one of the keys because they were involved in that, and we've got stone hard evidence about it. They were willing to kill 3,000 and blow up our buildings and then blame it on a race of people that had nothing to do with it, so that they could foment a war. So what this tells me is they're willing to do anything. Anything that's possible, you know, they'll do anything to get their way, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
one thing that we can do that the Liberty Veterans Association is examining right now is since there is a requirement in law that the government investigate war crimes, and since we reported a war crime and they're ignoring it, we can go to a federal judge and ask him to order the government to obey the law, which would be to investigate the attack, investigate the war crime. And the Liberty Veterans Association is working on that.
Well, I wonder how long that judge would be walking around the streets if that were the case. Scary stuff. I mean, you got to take seriously the threats of these people, because they're definitely not stable as a group. I mean, they're definitely willing to take any means necessary. There's a teleological suspension of ethics in their way of going about things, Jim. And I got to be honest with you. Every time I've looked into all the actions of this Israeli Zionist group, they are horrific in their response to everything. And if you take a look at Lebanon right now, they're reducing that country to a stubble for a false enemy. And if you know as well as I do, that Hezbollah was formed in 1982 to fight the Israelis in their first incursion into Lebanon. And by the way, Hezbollah is not a terrorist organization in Europe. It's considered a freedom-fighting organization.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not what we get on the press, is it?
Not at all, yeah.
And it amazes me every day that I watch, I have the ability to watch CNN and BBC and the other European channels, and you would be shocked to know what America does not see. I mean, it would shock you. The difference between the press in America and in Europe. And the Europeans are waking up very, very seriously, waking up to the facts around Lebanon and others. And I think it's an opportunity for us to show the world what we're up against. And, of course, they're going to fight us tooth and nail, and I wonder if we're going to get this enough attention soon enough. But I think this might be the best avenue for the Liberty's justice, is to fight what they're doing right now in the Middle East, because one brings you to the other, Jim. I mean, you cannot be looking at the actions of Israel in Lebanon and not be steered to the other events that these people have committed, these other atrocities.
Yeah, well, I agree totally. I watch the network news every night, and the way the news is slanted to excuse everything the Israelis do is just sickening. And if I really want to know what's going on, I'll watch the BBC or some overseas news, because you just don't get the facts here.
No. Well, are there other things going on with the organization? I know that your organization still is a strong one, and there's communication amongst its members. Do you have any events planned or any things going on that we should know about as listeners?
No, we just we keep the website up to date and keep all the full story there on USSLiberty.org.
Do you have the documents that were submitted by the your lawyer to the courts?
The entire 300-page report is highlighted at the top of the of the website.
Actually, I was asking a question I knew the answer to, by the way, because I've already looked at it.
I'm sure.
It was difficult to get through most of the pages because I after about 150 I knew the story actually. See, once you know the story here, and on the other side of this thing now, when we end up, I don't even know what to ask you about this one, but that day that this stuff all happened and the people that were injured, are there still a lot of disabled vets that are suffering physical infirmity as a result of this attack alive today?
Oh, yeah. A lot of our guys are 100% disabled, and a lot more are still applying for disability benefits.
Well, for people to understand something, to have your health removed from you in service to your country and then not be allowed to tell the truth about how it happened at the hands of another nation, you can, it's almost like you've got to carry around a dirty secret along with your injuries, and this in itself is that's part of the sickness of what I see here, Jim, because the people who gave up their health for this are basically told to shut up and we'll give you your stuff, but don't talk about the how this all happened.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in fact, that's the worst part for most of our people. Every one of our survivors who was hospitalized was visited in the hospital by a naval officer who told him, you will not talk about this anywhere with anyone, with your wife, mother, or friends, and if you do, we'll come and get you and lock you up and throw away the key. Now, that scared people, and most of them didn't say anything about it at all. The attack was in 67. I published my book in 1980, 13 years later. And this was the first time that the true story had ever been told. I fully expected a couple of guys with suits to come to my door and take me away, and it didn't happen. Instead, I got a call from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff telling me that he read my book and liked it, and he wanted to help me promote it. So, and he did. Until Admiral Moore died, he was helping tell the story and trying to get us an investigation, but it, even that didn't matter. We've had the heads of all of the U.S. intelligence agencies have told us that the story that I tell in my book is true. Bobby Inman, Marshall Carter, all of them. And yet, even Dean Rusk called me and said that, your story is correct and I support it and we know it was a deliberate attack. But try to get the government to act officially, it's impossible.
Well, are there any specific names that you can share with our listeners of people who have actually put blockages on your justice that you know were involved behind the scenes to stop you? Any individuals that you know were actually pulling strings that you somebody said so-and-so told me to stay away from you or not to talk to you about it or not to help you with it or...
The senior people never do anything directly that you can see, and I don't remember the names of some of the individuals. For instance, when I was in the hospital, I had a Navy captain come out and eyeball me and warn me that I'd go to jail if I ever talked about it. I don't remember who he was, and it's the same thing with most of our people. Actually, one of our guys who is still very seriously disabled and has had about 30 surgeries does remember that Admiral Isaac Kidd, who was the president of the Navy Court of Inquiry, did come to his hospital and gave him that same message. So he got it personally from a four-star admiral.
So Admiral Kidd should live his future in shame in the minds of anybody who loves justice.
We think so.
Yeah.
I knew him, and he was otherwise an honorable and responsible fellow, but he certainly didn't live up to the standard when it came to the USS Liberty.
And this connection to McCain. Now, McCain's connection to this is even more powerful than Kidd's, because he's the guy that liaisoned between the political process and the military one, and he's the guy that got everything kind of swept under the rug, isn't he?
Yes, that's right. He was coordinating with Washington and whitewashing the Court of Inquiry report.
Well, isn't it interesting that they're bantering around the idea of his son being a president of our country? How would you feel about John McCain being elected president there, Jim?
I find that frightening. We've appealed to John McCain Jr. several times to look at the Liberty. I mean, we figured here's a retired naval officer who spent time in a POW camp and should care about veterans and what happens to Navy ships and that sort of thing, and we can't even get the time of day. We've written to him, we've called upon him in person, and all we get is the baloney reply that, well, that was investigated and we're not going to do anything more about it. And we can show them affidavits from admirals showing that it was not investigated or the investigation was a fraud. But that doesn't influence him. He just doesn't want to take the political risk of dealing with the Liberty.
Well, it would actually prove that his father was an obfuscator and a liar, and in the pocket of Zionist criminals, and that he's now slated, surprisingly, no surprises, but slated for president in the Republican Party. And, it's like the criminals keep putting their own people back in charge of things here. Daddy Bush and the son, and now it's John McCain's father and now son. And when do the American public stand up and say, there's a pattern here, let's stop it?
Yeah, it's past time, isn't it?
Oh, boy. The reason I went off track with this, Jim, on these questions, I didn't get into the minutiae of the attack this time, because we've really covered that very well on the French Connection. What I wanted to do today is discuss the ramifications of it, what you've been able to get done and what you haven't, and some of the parallels and ties to events happening today. And I thought that was a very good addendum to the other interviews that we've done, because those weren't really covered in depth. Is there anything you'd like to add to what we've discussed today about this?
I think we've covered it pretty well, but I might hit briefly upon the war crime aspect of it. I mean, people, especially those who want to apologize for Israel, frequently say that, well, it was an accident. They thought you were in an Egyptian ship. Well, there are several things about that. First place, they didn't think we were an Egyptian ship. We have intercepts, and we've talked to intercept operators who heard the airplanes reporting to their headquarters that we were, in fact, an American ship with an American flag. And they told the headquarters that they weren't going to attack because we were American, and the headquarters came back and told them to attack that ship and sink it quickly. And then when they attacked and we didn't go down, there were frantic messages between the headquarters and the attacking aircraft telling them to do your job and sink that ship and get out of there before the 6th Fleet arrives. So they knew full well exactly what they were doing. Then Israel claimed that, oh, it was a tragic mistake. We thought it was an Egyptian freighter. And we saw a ship in that area, and we assumed that it had to be an enemy because we didn't know of an American ship there. Of course, they did know. But even that so-called explanation defines a war crime. If you attack an unknown ship in international waters without identifying it and determining for certain that it is an enemy ship, that is contrary to the Geneva Conventions, and it is a war crime. That is sufficient that it should be investigated, and that's one of the things that we've been urging an investigation on. Of course,
well, the last thing I'd like before I let you give your information one more time is they tried to shoot the survivors who were leaving in lifeboats. They tried to shoot them dead in the lifeboats. Am I correct in saying that?
The lifeboats were empty, but we were sinking, and we launched life rafts, and the torpedo boats came in closer and machine gunned the empty life rafts in the water, and that is another war crime. They should have provided assistance to us instead of sinking the very life rafts that we were planning to use to escape.
Jim. Yeah. You want to give your information again, Jim, please, so everybody knows how to get the full story from both your website and the book and the phone number, if you would, please.
All right. The website is ussliberty.org or ussliberty.com. There you will find everything, including a description of the book and an excerpt chapter and where to buy it. And you can buy the book either from Amazon. Amazon.com is doing a land office business and selling the book. Or to get a signed copy, signed by me, just simply call 425-788-4561 during working hours. And we'll send a book to you that you'll have 48 hours later, and it will be signed and personalized.
Well, you know, Jim, you're one of my heroes because you've never stopped fighting these people. And, you know, so many people would have said, ah, so what? Well, anybody who loves America and loves what we could be, and we're not anymore, but what we could be, has to make a decision in their lives at what we're willing to fight for. Are we willing to fight to have a free country, or are we going to be, murderous thugs for a criminal country in the Middle East? And I have to take my hat off up to you, sir. You've kept the fight going, and I want to tell you I appreciate that very much.
Oh, thank you, Darrell. We got to fight. If we don't fight, we're going to lose this country.
Yeah, well, I think we're well on our way, but I think, you know, we might be able to pull ourselves back from the precipice because the hubris of these people has allowed them to make some terrible errors, and there are people like myself and like you that are taking advantage of these errors they've made to point out to the American public and the world just how controlled and how terribly destroyed our nation is and becoming. So the fight is on, and I won't stop until we win. I'll tell you that right now. And Jim, I got to thank you again, and give my best to your wife and all of the other shipmates that contact you. Tell them Darrell Bradford Smith sends his best.
I'll do that. Thank you. And send me the URL, and I'll put it on the website.
Okie doke. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Jim Innes, officer of the deck, author, freedom fighter, demanding the truth on his experience in the USS Liberty for not only himself but his shipmates. They've worked tirelessly for 40 years to demand an honest hearing on the events that took place in 1967 on June 8th. And I got to tell you, this is only a symptom of the sickness that we all face. And you need to know that that these kinds of crimes are still being committed by these people. And don't let them slander you with anti-Semitism. They've tried it with me. The fact is, these people aren't Semites to begin with, so it makes no sense to in the beginning. They're Ashkenazi Khazars, and they're not even Semitic people. So it's ludicrous to call on people as anti-Semitic. It's ridiculous, and we've got to educate the public, because if once the public is educated, boy, are they going to have a hard time selling this lie across the world. But until our next broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you thank you very much for listening to The French Connection, and be well. Bye-bye now.